Hey everybody, it's Maggie Rodden. How you doing today? I'm telling you, I just had a little scare about 10 minutes ago. We had, the power went off in the house and I thought, oh no, cause that means I'm not on the internet. That means I can't connect through, Skype, which is how I connect to the network. And I thought, oh, this is not good. But anyway, situation is resolved, obviously, or I wouldn't, well, I could be talking to you through a regular landline. Actually, I couldn't cause my landline is now a cable line, which would need power to operate. So, no, I wouldn't be talking to you at all, but somebody up there likes me today, and so here I am, which is a good thing because I have another wonderful guest lined up today, and everybody needs to hear what this gentleman has to say. So thank goodness that my power went back on, and I am able to be here today to help redistribute the truth, because that's really all it's about, isn't it? Telling the truth to people so that they can wake up, smell the coffee, if you will. Listen, get involved with this network. We are Truth Redistributors here. RepublicBroadcasting.org is how you find us. We are Facebook, Republic Broadcasting Network, Twitter, RBN Live, 800-724-2719 if you want to advertise your business or service. There's all kinds of products to buy. I suggest bumper stickers. How about some business cards for the network? Hand them out to people. Let them know we are here. Got to help get the message out there. 2251 Double Creek Road, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664 is our number. My website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. Theunsolicitedopinion.com is the number, or is my website address, rather. So go there. Lots of good information up there. I link to a lot of other people's websites. There's a lot of information that you need to be cognizant of. And so got a lot of work. Go to work. Start reading. Start learning. Print out some handouts. Wake up your neighbor. Get involved in the fight. Otherwise, we're going to be done like a duck's dinner, and that doesn't sound very appetizing to me. So anyway, I'm going to bring my guest on after the first break, which is going to be about a minute. I'm hearing the cue music now. We're hitting the break. We'll be back in 3 minutes, and then Reverend Ted Pipe will be joining me from the National Prayer Network. Truthtellers.org is his website. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Hey, everybody. This is Maggie Rodden. This is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. I want to welcome Reverend Ted Pipe to the show this morning. Thanks for getting up so early for me, Reverend Pike. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, Maggie.
That's always a pleasure. So, let's start with the Good Christian Bitches show, if we could, please. Talk about that. I know you only got to touch on that briefly last time you were on with me, Reverend Pike. So how about, is that a good place to start? What do you think?
It certainly is.
Okay.
Yes, I've been pretty much leading a national boycott against ABC's sitcom, Good Christian Bitches. It's, the acronym for it now is GCB, but everybody knows what it really stands for. It's a mockery, a travesty of Christians in Dallas, Texas. There are these women, super affluent, rich women, fundamentalist Christians, but their lives are just absolutely filled with backbiting, hypocrisy, pettiness, materialism, gross immorality, drunkenness, everything you could possibly imagine, which is most unflattering to Christian women. And, of course, this is produced by Jewish-controlled Disney ABC. Robert Iger, in fact, is not one of the usual secular Jews of the Hollywood set. He is an observant Jew. He takes his Judaism very seriously, a Talmudic Jew, and yet he has authorized this production, savaging Christianity. He is bearing with it despite controversy. He's wanting to see it through to the end. It's also the guts of the production, the creative guts are provided by rank homosexual Jews. Darren Star is the executive producer. He is the one, of course, who made Desperate Housewives and Melrose Place and others, and as well as Alan Poole, who is the director. He is a really militant homosexual. Speaks in at gay pride rallies and so on. And then another Jew, Aaron Kaplan, is the producer. This is obviously a very religiously, even theologically motivated attack by by Jews, Hollywood Jews, upon Christianity. They're testing the limits to see how much the Christian religious right in America is going to take, whether they're going to protest, tragically, literally all the Christian conservative leaders and watchdog organizations are silent. There's just several Media Watch protest groups who are working with us, but the vast majority of leaders are silent, and tragically, that means that most Christians who are the butt of this attack don't even know that it's going on.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that seems to be the method of operation, doesn't it, Reverend Pike, that these people, evangelical Christians, their leaders and that, are silent when it comes to assaults on Christianity by Jews. It's okay, as far as they're concerned, for this to occur. I don't understand that. I'm sure you can explain it to us, but please go ahead, Reverend Pike.
Well, what's really sinful is that these leaders are not silent when it comes time to speak up in defense of Israel. If there's some kind of a problem in Israel, a Middle East, or another breakout in Gaza or something, people like James Dobson will move right forward. Others will move forward, certainly John Hagee and others, to give unqualified support of Israel. But where's James Dobson? Where's John Hagee right now, as Jesus is literally being kicked in the ditch by these apostate Jews? You know, Jesus said that if they hate you, if they persecute you, they're really persecuting me. And the Christian women of Dallas, Texas, are being held up for vilification and mockery by good Christian bitches. And what Jesus said is, if they're making a mockery of my followers, imperfect as they may be, they are actually mocking me.
You know, and I don't want to change the subject, but I just want to throw something in here. I was reading an article in the USA Today from Monday, Reverend Pike, and it talked about a new Bible gives modern voice to the Word, and it says the name Jesus Christ doesn't appear in the Voice, which is what they're calling this new translation of the Bible. And they're altering things around in here quite a lot to change the message that change the original message away from what it was to whatever they want it to be.
Yeah, there are these assaults coming from quite a few quarters. Certainly that cannot be done because you have the original New Testament Greek, which every translation of the Bible has to be strictly accountable to. But this GCB, as it's called now, is a continuation of a tradition of Hollywood assaults on Christianity by Jewish media moguls. I think probably the first big one was The Last Temptation of Christ back in the 90s, which came out of Jewish MCA. And actually, our National Prayer Network sent out a flyer entitled The Real Reason for The Last Temptation of Christ, and we pointed out, point by point, how literally The Last Temptation script mirrored the assertions of the Babylonian Talmud, which is the greatest authority for Robert Iger, head of Disney ABC. And we actually sent that out to about, I think it was 192,000 pastors in America, evangelical pastors. And a few years later, a top Jewish source authority in the United States said that largely because of the reflection that made upon Jews in opposition to Christianity, it was the biggest disaster in Jewish-Christian relations in the last century. And we have something similar going on right now. There have been other attacks. There's the Gnostic Gospels came out, the Da Vinci Code, the Book of Daniel. These Antichrist Jews just keep pushing the envelope, seeing what they can possibly get away with and whether the Christian community is morally apathetic or even rotten enough to allow it. And I've been writing articles warning that if we allow them to get away with this and continue to hide their Jewish animus and against Christianity and their identity as Jews, it's going to break out into real persecution in the years ahead. There's going to be more and more. This is going to be mild compared to the public media anti-Christianity leading to persecution and legislation in the future?
Well, you know, Reverend Pike, it seems to me, and I know you were at the forefront of trying to fight these hate crimes laws, and none of these evangelicals got on board to help you with that. I know I was reading some articles you had written, and you talked about how you contacted them, tried to contact them, and nobody bothered to do anything until it was like the stroke before midnight, when essentially it was too late. They didn't jump on board, and it's rather telling to me, and it should be to everybody listening, if the people who profess to be Christians don't speak out and stand up for Christianity, and don't speak out against those who seek to prevent you from speaking freely what your heart and your faith is telling you is the truth, then there's a big problem with that. And there's a bigger problem with these people who are standing there taking in millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars in tax-free donations, who are essentially hustling their parishioners. Are they not, Reverend Pike?
Well, they're not fulfilling their duty to stand on the wall and warn the people. As God told the prophet Ezekiel, he says, you've got to stand on the wall when you see evil coming and the enemy coming. You've got to sound the trumpet and tell the people to prepare. And yet that's not happening. They are not standing on their wall. They are not protesting. And, you know, back in the final week, literally the final week of the passage of the federal hate crimes bill, the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Prevention Act, I was just screaming my lungs out to these groups saying, we've got to fight. We've got to get those calls going in. And the final week, Dr. James Dobson, I thought, oh, mercifully, at last, Dr. James Dobson is making a public statement about the federal hate crimes bill. So I turned on Christian radio and I listened avidly. And basically he said, there's nothing we can do, folks. It's a lost cause. We need to pray now. He said, yeah. We need to pray. That's all he said to the people, his vast Christian conservative constituency. And in fact, that last week, Dr. John Hagee appeared. He had 5,000 evangelicals with him who could have gone around to all the Senate offices and put pressure on the hate bill. He didn't even address the hate bill. Those 5,000 evangelicals were there to promote Israel. So they flooded the offices getting assurances from the politicians they would be unconditionally supportive of Israel. Do you see the dilemma we're in? We don't know our enemy. We can't rouse ourselves with the kind of moral courage at the decisive moment to hold the dike, you know, like the little boy with his finger in the dike. We're off on the golf course. The pastors are off on the golf course when they should have their finger in the dike.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Reverend Pike, where is it? Faith without works is dead. I mean, you're supposed to take a little action, aren't you?
You are. You are supposed to wait on the Lord as a Christian leader and listen to the Holy Spirit, and He will lead you, showing you what kind of action you should take. And He certainly has led me to say, I cannot be silent while my Lord is being pistol whipped and kicked and spit upon by these apostate Jews in Hollywood.
Well, you know, we've got just another minute or two before we're going to hit the first break, Reverend Pike. But I want you to explain, if you could, how the Babylonian Talmud, how that plays into this. And I don't think we covered this the last time, but if we did, I think it's okay if we go over it again.
Sure.
Because it needs to be clear in people's mind, how that relates to the Old Testament, and which book, what is it that drives Judaism? Is it the Babylonian Talmud, or is it the Old Testament of the Bible? Because I think there's some confusion there. Certainly, no, there always has been with me. I really didn't know a damn thing about the Babylonian Talmud. I hear the cue music, though. We're going to break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Reverend Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. He is with the National Prayer Network. We will be back in 3 minutes. Don't change that dial. Hey, everybody, we're back. Reverend Ted Pike is my guest. National Prayer Network is his organization. Truthtellers.org is his website. When we went to break, Reverend Pike, I had asked you about the Babylonian Talmud. What's driving Judaism? Is it the Talmud, or is it the Old Testament of the Bible, or is it a combination of both?
Well, let me just go back clear to the beginning. The Bible says that clear back 3,000 years ago, the world was wandering around in spiritual darkness, with idolatry and perverse behaviors, especially in the Middle East, in the land of Canaan. There was homosexuality, there was infant sacrifice, there was bestiality, as well as all kinds of pagan polytheism, worship of many gods. Mankind didn't know how to find God or to become righteous and holy in his sight. So he called and he talked to Abraham, who was righteous, and he said, I'm going to make a great people out of you that's going to basically bring truth and light of God to the nations eventually. And these were the Israelites, or the children of Israel, the children of Abraham. And they went into Egyptian bondage for 400 years, but the Lord brought them out under Moses and Aaron with great miracles and judgments. And at Mount Sinai, 1,500 years B.C., God spoke to Moses, and he gave him simple commandments, the Ten Commandments, and a Jewish law, the Mosaic Law, in the midst of the lightning and the fire and the thunder and earthquakes at Mount Sinai. That became what's known as the Torah, or the Old Testament law of the Jews. And God expected the Hebrews, the Jews, to observe his law. And the purpose of the law was to inform humanity, inform the Jews of the difference between the clean and the unclean, the righteous and the wicked. Now, about 600 years before Christ, the Jews, especially in the southern kingdom of Judah, had become so wicked that God allowed the Chaldeans, that's the Babylonians from the east, to come under Nebuchadnezzar and take the Jews into Babylonian exile. And the whole nation was taken into exile. In Babylon, the Jews became, they absorbed all of the occultry, the perversions, the degradation of Babylon. Babylon was basically the cesspool of moral wickedness and perversion, astrology and necromancy, all those perversions of the ancient world. And because they didn't have a temple, they didn't have priests anymore, a class of lay priests called the Sopharim arose, who taught the people, and these became the fathers of the Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees. And when Jesus came on the scene, these scribes and Pharisees had actually migrated back to Palestine and had established iron control over the religious establishment of Judea. When Jesus encountered the Pharisees, he frontally assaulted them with blistering condemnations and accusations of being hypocrites and liars and immoral and self-righteous and all this kind of stuff. And they hated him so much for that invective against him and because of the rivalry that he provided against their authority, that they had him crucified. And then in fulfillment of Jesus' words, of course, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 A.D. The Jews were exiled. And yet in the centuries that followed, most of these Pharisees, their descendants of the Pharisees, went back to Babylon. And they had contrived an elaborate oral tradition in the time of Jesus. And Jesus said, you by your tradition turn upside down the law of God. You make the law of God of none effect. And this devious, twisted reinterpretation of the Mosaic law, reversing everything that God had ever tried to tell the Jews about morality and religion and ethics and so on, this became written down about three or four centuries after Christ as the great Babylonian Talmud. It was written down and became the greatest religious and ethical and moral authority for Jews of all time. And today, Jews like Robert Iger, the head of ABC and Disney, they follow religiously the Babylonian Talmud. It's their moral compass. It embodies really the perfect expression of the ancient Pharisees who crucified Jesus Christ. And there's also another sacred authority for observant Orthodox Jews, and that's called the Kabbalah, the Jewish Kabbalah. The Zohar, the five books of the Zohar, are a companion to the Talmud. The Zohar is the mystical counterpart to the Talmud. It's full of revolutionary anti-Gentile, anti-Christian sentiments, full of the idea that the Goyim or the Gentiles are demons. They're meant to be killed. They're meant to be ruled over and cheated and exploited. Full of the idea that the Jews are destined to rule the world, and through any means possible, they should get a dominance over the Gentiles.
Reverend Pike, are there any black churches that understand this like you do? Hang on. I hear the cue music. You can answer that when we come back. Reverend Pike is my guest. National Prayer Network is his organization. TruthTellers.org is his website. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Hey, everybody. We're back. I'm talking this morning with Reverend Ted Pike. National Prayer Network is his organization. TruthTellers.org is his website. And I had asked you a question when we went to break, because you're talking about the Babylonian Talmud. And I wondered, Dr. Pike, if there were any black churches that understand that what this about the Babylonian Talmud and what their position is when it comes to anybody who's not Jewish. So that certainly includes black people as well.
I don't think so. I don't think the blacks have any particular background in understanding of this. There have been people like Louis Farrakhan who undoubtedly have some black followers, and there's black Muslims who are critical of the Jews. But the Jews, of course, made a very, very strong alliance with the black community during the civil rights movement. But there's been a good deal of suspicion by blacks against the Jews that they were self-serving and making use of them for their own political ends. But there's no particular enlightenment on this subject in the black community that I've ever heard of.
Okay. I was just wondering, because I know Louis Farrakhan talks about the roles that the Jews have played in banking and so on and so forth, but I know I've also heard him say that he thinks all white people are devils, too, so that's not going to work real well.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't compute. That message doesn't compute too well, Reverend Pike. I kind of got you off the beaten track here from the good Christian bitches, and I want to focus on that a lot as well this morning, because I think it's important that people fight back against this denigration of Christianity, which seems to be the norm today, that it's okay to criticize Christians, to denigrate Christians, to remove all symbols of Christianity from the public square. But that's not the same when it comes to any other religion.
Well, of course
just
not.
Christianity.
You know, there's a remarkable double standard, not only in this particular issue, but in the ADL hate laws. The ADL Anti-Defamation League, of course, is a Jewish watchdog attack group. And by the way, ADL would never stand for any Jew being called, a Jewish woman being called a bitch. Even if a Christian pastor or broadcaster, a minor one, let it slip, Jewish bitches, boy, the ADL would explode in a thermonuclear holocaust of demands for abject repentance and groveling before ADL from that public figure, and as an anti-Semitic attack. But there's such a double standard. Christianity, however, it's open season for Christian under ADL hate laws in all of these countries. And it's just taken for granted. Not only in Canada and Australia and France and anywhere you have ADL Jewish hate laws, it's taken for granted that Jews, Muslims, blacks, women, homosexuals will receive special federal protection under hate laws because they are viewed as the historic victims of white, male, Christian, chauvinistic discrimination and oppression over the centuries. And so it's payback time now in the liberal ADL establishment. It's okay to gore and blaspheme Christians even on the airwaves, as ABC is now doing. But you can't use the word good Muslim bitches, good Jewish bitches, or anything like that, because the Muslims and the Jews are much more vociferous in their defense of their own people, their own religions. But the Christians are showing themselves, the leaders are showing themselves total wimps, totally ineffective, totally lacking in any kind of fight or courage to stand up not only for Jesus, but for the reputation of Christianity in America.
Well, you know, it seems to me, now I could be totally wrong, mm-hmm. Reverend Pike, but it does seem to me that their palms are being greased, and that's why they do not speak out and stand up for Christianity as they should. It's either that, or it's the fact that a lot of people seem to think that the Jews are the chosen people, and therefore, no matter what they do, they can do no wrong, and it needs to be overlooked, and so you need to, you know, grovel, essentially, as a Christian, because the Jews walk a step above you. So it's either one or the other, or a combination of both, in my opinion, you know.
Well, it is a mix of that. I think there's no doubt that it's very easy to penetrate Christian organizations. If you were a Zionist, a Jewish Zionist, and you wanted to find out some skeletons in the closets of evangelical leaders and penetrate those organizations, find out where their weak points are, where they might be blackmailed. Nothing could be easier than get in. You know, you could even say you're a Jew. You could even say you're not even a Christian. And they would let you into the organization because you are viewed as a kind of a sacred cow, one of the chosen tribe, and all of that. The mystique of that is very, very prominent in Christian organizations, and certainly in the Hagee's organizations and others. Nothing could be easier. You, even just saying I've been born again, whatever that means, you can get into these organizations. So they are very open to penetration, intelligence gathering, and blackmail of the top leaders. I think that's a very great reality. I think it explains why in crucial times of legislative opportunity, again and again, I saw these leaders fail me. Even the senators in Congress again and again failed me when we thought we had their support. There's something in the back room, some kind of agreements or pressure being put upon them. But also there is a very, very prominent a substratum of sympathy for Israel on one hand, but also very great fear of the Jews on the other hand, because these things like hate laws, the Holocaust, Hollywood media, these are all considered venerable Jewish institutions by these Jewish attack groups, the ADL, SPLC, ACLU, and so on. And if evangelicals start meddling around and criticizing these Jewish organizations, these Jewish institutions, then there's a chance that these evangelical leaders will fear there's a chance that the ADL can bear down on them and begin to make the accusation of anti-Semitism. So the wise policy, as far as they're concerned, is stay completely away from Hollywood and its Jewish dominance, stay completely away from the hate laws and so on, just be safe. And anyway, you know, Jesus is coming just in a couple of years now. We're all going to go out in a big elevator ride, and we'll just leave this big mess to our children, especially the children who haven't been born again and can't get a ticket on the Rapture space shuttle that will be taking us out literally in a few years.
It is, I'm chuckling here, Reverend Pike, but it is tragic. It's truly tragic where we are here today in 2012 and what we see taking place, this blatant denial of your Christianity, and that should be first and foremost, if you're a Christian, in your mind, above and beyond anything else, that should be, first and foremost, and that I would think you would be willing to stand up for. But the fact that they don't speaks volumes. It really speaks volumes.
You know, Christianity is affirmed, the validity, the workability of what Christ did at the cross is affirmed, and by the way Christians behave and react. If Christians are easily deceived, if Christians are cowards, if Christians flee the hard moral issues of our time, that does not speak well concerning the inspiration of their lives and the fact that they really have been transformed by the blood of Jesus at Calvary. And what my great ambition to do is to at least let the world know that there's one authentic Christian on the scene who's willing to go out and put his light on the highest possible place he can, which of course is the Internet, and proclaim the whole truth regardless of the consequences. I consider that a great honor because it reflects on the fact that I do believe that Jesus, in his death and in his resurrection, contains the created tremendous spiritual power for the redemption, the forgiveness, the cleansing, and the empowerment of everyone's lives who trust in him.
You know, Reverend Pike, I may have mentioned this the last time. I'm not sure, but I want to bring it up again. Define, because I read a lot of different things claiming that a lot of the Jews, while they're Ashkenazi or they're Sephardic or they're Khazars, and they wouldn't, if they were Khazars, they wouldn't be the true descendants of Abraham. And what would be the definition of a Semite? Because I've even read, oh no, they're not Semites. These people are the Semites. It's, and the, you know, this anti-Semitism label that is placed on people. Well, that's not accurate because a lot of these people aren't even Semites in the first place who claim to be. And so straighten all that out, if you would, please, for everybody listening.
Well, I mentioned how that the Jews, the tribe of Judah, which were authentic descendants of Judah, who was one of the sons of Jacob, descendant of Abraham. I mentioned how the descendants of Judah were taken to Babylon, and Babylon for 1600 years, from about 600 B.C. to the beginning of the 11th century A.D., became the great promised land, the great center of Jewish learning and scholarship, religion, commerce, culture, and everything. And around the 11th century, however, the Jews of Babylon were expelled. They were being expelled all over the world in different countries, very largely because of their racism and intolerance in the Talmud. But these authentic Jews moved to the West. They moved into particularly in North Africa, Italy, as far as Spain, and then up into the northern European countries like Holland and France and England and so on. And these authentic Jews are called basically Sephardic Oriental, Spanish Jews or Oriental Jews of Africa and so on. And they are with us today, but they are only, let's say, about 20%. Nobody quite knows, but the Sephardim in Israel today and throughout the world are about 20% of world Jewry. Now, most of the so-called Jews in the world today are descended, however, from not Semitic, but Japhetic Gentile stock. And that goes back to the fact that around the middle of the 8th century A.D., 800 years after Christ, in the Eurasian country of Khazaria, between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea in central Russia today, the king of the Khazars, he was called the Khagan, he was shopping around for a new religion, and he called representatives of Islam, Judaism, and Christianity to his capital, and they made their case, and he chose Judaism. And then in the century or so following, Khazars absolutely became convinced that they were Jews. They were probably thought they were descendants of the lost 10 tribes of Israel, which the Assyrians had taken into captivity about 1,500 years earlier. And so anyway, with the Mongol invasions, the Khazar, the whole nation practically was moved. Those who survived the Mongol invasions were moved to the west, into Central Europe, particularly into Poland and then up into Russia and so on. But Poland became the center of what is called Ashkenazi or Eastern European Jewry. Well, they weren't really Jews at all. They were Jewish proselytes. They were converts to Judaism. And this became a huge multi-million mass of Jews there in Eastern Europe, which the Sephardic on the West, they knew about, but they couldn't quite figure out where they came from. But finally, about in the late 18th and 19th century, tremendous amounts of these Eastern European Jews came, migrated out of Germany and Eastern Europe to the United States. Virtually all of them became the founders of the Hollywood movie industry, the founders of secular, rabid, anti-Christian Jewry in America, such as the ADL. But particularly, they came down at the beginning of the 20th century into Israel, under the Balfour Declaration and earlier, virtually all of the leaders of Zionism were also these Ashkenazi, basically Khazar so-called Jews. And they comprise about 80% of Jews today. Now, this is in fulfillment of ancient prophecy because God told the Jews through Moses. He says, if you rebel against me, I'm going to curse you Jews to become a very, very small nation. They'll have a very, very small birth rate. And that's perfectly fulfilled today because the descendants of those Jews now only number about, at most, 3 or 4 million. And that's just about not much more than came out of Egypt. 1.5 million under Moses, the most remarkable fulfillment. But they also had this desire through the Talmud and Kabbalah for world control, but it would have been impossible for them to achieve that without the massive infusion of Gentile Khazar assistance, which came through the conversion of the Khazar nation. The Khazars are brilliant people. They're energetic. They're creative. They're merchants and artisans and so on. It's a tremendous advantage to the Sephardic, and they became actually more devoted to the Talmud and the Kabbalah than the Jews to the West. They became basically the fuel to generate the Bolshevik revolution in Russia, modern 20th century liberalism and Jewish control of finance and war making and everything we see today.
So the Ashkenazis are Khazars. The true bloodline Jews would be the Sephardic Jews then, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
The Khazars have shown themselves much more aggressive, more belligerent, more vulgar, and that all comes out in Hollywood. That's the topic we're talking about today. The Sephardic were really quite shocked back in the 18th century when they first started noticing these Khazars coming over into Germany and so on. They were rather shocked at the rudeness and the brashness and arrogance of the Khazars, and that characteristic has continued. The brash chutzpah, the New York Jew. That's a Khazar characteristic which has been very much commented on disfavorably in modern times.
You know, when you think about this, Reverend Pike, I mean, it's a hell of a hoax they've pulled off here.
Yeah, that's right.
It really is.
The biggest irony, you know, Arthur Koestler was a novelist and a Jew, and he wrote a book called The 13th Tribe.
I read his book, yeah.
Yeah, he pioneered this, and many have done more research on it, and it's basically a sound thesis. There's nobody denying that Khazars had tremendous influence on Eastern European Jewry. Only question is the magnitude of that. But the great irony is that here these evangelicals are slavishly fawning over these Khazar Jews, thinking that they are true descendants of Abraham and that they have a right to come to Palestine to kick out 800,000 Palestinians in 1948. Because only they own Palestine. It's all too ludicrous.
It is. It's a trip. Hang on. We're going to break. We'll be right back. 3 minutes. Reverend Ted Pike is my guest. Truthtellers.org is his website. We'll be right back in 3. Hey, everybody. We're back. Reverend Ted Pike is my guest. Truthtellers.org is his website. And he has on his website where you can go all the phone numbers to call all of these different sponsors of this good Christian bitches show. Let's face it, it's money talks here, and call these advertisers who are advertising on this station or ABC and advertising on this show, good Christian bitches, and tell them you're not going to buy their products until they stop putting their dollars towards the denigration of Christianity.
Yeah, we've had 11 major sponsors respond to that request. In fact, that threat that we would boycott them, and they have jumped ship. Kraft, Pepsi, Huggies, Progressive, on. And there's evidence that something like 78% of them who advertised once have not advertised again in the last 6 shows. So there's evidence that we are having a tremendous impact. I just want to encourage people to come to Truth Tellers, get on board, join with us, take action, put your faith into action to resist this onslaught against Christianity.
Yeah, Yeah. Let me ask you a question, and then we've got a caller that we'll take in a minute. But Reverend Pike, so would the Sephardic Jews would they be? And I don't know. These are Orthodox, I guess. Would they be the Jews that I've seen different websites for the Jews who are standing there who are against the nation of Israel and against them being there? That group of Jews that
I mean, the Naturi Carta Jews against Zionism.
I'm not sure their name, but that could be it. Yeah.
Yeah. There are ultra-Orthodox Jews. The Naturi Carta, Rabbi Wiest is their leader. They are not Sephardic Oriental. They are out of Poland. They come from the Hasidic or the ultra-Orthodox group out of Poland. Sources of religious inspiration are both the Talmud and the Kabbalah, and they're kind of deceptive. In fact, they are very deceptive. I agree with what they're trying to do against the Zionists, but they do mislead evangelicals and the alternative right in saying that they adhere to the Torah. They give the impression they follow the Bible. No modern Jew, convinced Orthodox. Observant Jew today follows the Bible as their primary guidance system. They follow the Talmud. They follow the Pharisees, and the Naturi Carta Jews against Zionism are no exception. In fact, they are very critical of Jesus, too, despite their outward appearance of wanting to work with the religious right. So I happily accept their efforts to work with us against Zionism. But we have to remember they are convinced Talmudic, Kabbalistic Jews at the same time.
You know, I think one of the major problems, Reverend Pike, and I can speak just for myself, however, it seems apparent to me that most Christians think that the Jews follow the Old Testament. That's what
they think. That's fantasy. Yeah, if you go into any of the Jewish the authoritative Jewish encyclopedias and read about the Pharisees or the Talmud, they make it very clear that the law of Moses is considered very, very passé, out of date, simplistic compared to the real truth and erudition and wisdom that comes from the Talmud and the Pharisees. The Pharisees who crucified Jesus are the greatest legal, ethical, religious authorities for modern Jews. And we have to remember that there is a deep loyalty in modern Orthodox Judaism to those who killed Jesus.
Well, look at the Pope. Didn't he come out with a proclamation the last few months, Reverend Pike, claiming that the Jews were not responsible for the death of Jesus?
Yeah. Well, Pope keeps saying that over the years.
Yeah, yeah. Hang on, Reverend Pike. We got a quick 60-second station identifying break. We will be right back. Truthtellers.org is Reverend Pike's website. Please go there. Hey, everybody, it's Maggie Rodden. This is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. Get involved with our network. RepublicBroadcasting.org is how you can find us. 800-724-2719 is our number. Our address is 2251 Double Creek Road, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You need to stand up, speak out. You need to stand up for yourself, and you need to fight back. Support this network. We are redistributors of the truth. I always like to say one word at a time. And the way to make that happen is to help out, buy a product or advertise your business or service. Get, Jack McClam, Officer Jack McClam's book, Operation Vampire Killer 2012. How to buy it is right up there on RBN's website. Let them know when you go there, when you call them up to purchase their book that you heard about it on RBN, and then, RBN will get a little percentage of a portion of those proceeds goes back to RBN. So it's a win-win situation. Get that book in the hands of law enforcement and our military because they need to understand what's going on around them. We are going to be living in a perfect prison planet if we do not stand up and speak out for ourselves and fight back against those who seek to enslave us. Reverend Ted Pike certainly is a... you're certainly not afraid to stand up and speak out and speak the truth, Reverend Pike. So I truly applaud you for that. I'm glad that you are a brave, courageous individual. We need more people like you who are not afraid to stand up and be counted.
Well, partly I'll admit it's out of self-interest. I'm afraid that if this battle, we lose this battle, I'm going to be the first one into prison cell or a concentration camp. So I'm fighting as much for my own life as for the lives of everybody else.
Yeah, well, I certainly understand that. Reverend Pike, before we go on, we've got a caller who's been holding on for a few minutes now.
Okay.
So let's take this caller, Patrick in North Carolina. Patrick, go ahead, please.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've been listening to Reverend Pike, and I've got his videos, and appreciate the work he's done in the past on trying to protect Christian rights in this country. But one thing I think needs to be made clear is in order for people to continue to remain convinced that the Jews are the chosen people, the Jews, the rabbis, or what I call the modern-day Pharisees, they have to make Moses, or I'm not Moses, but Abraham, into a Jew. And if you read the Bible from cover to cover, you learn that there were no Jews at the time of Abraham. And really, Abraham was not a Jew. His son and Isaac was not a Jew. And then the other son, Israel, Jacob Israel, was not a Jew. And even Judah himself was not a Jew. And I wanted to see if Reverend Pike could touch on this and explain who, according to the Bible, would have been the first Jew.
Well, the word Judean, Jew, is a name. The reality is that we have a genealogy going back clearly linking Abraham to the line of Seth, going clear back to the Garden of Eden. He is a descendant of Noah, climbing out of the ark, and in the patrimony of Noah over Abraham, and then Abraham over the sons of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and then the one of the 12 sons of Jacob, Judah, where we get the tribe of Judah, which occupied the southern kingdom of Palestine, centering around Jerusalem. Now, it's very important that we not get hung up on words like this. Of course, the Christian identity people make a big deal out of Judah, using Judah rather than a Jew or Judahites or whatever. These are all a kind of word games that I don't like to get into. The fact of the matter is that Abraham was the beginning of God's revelation to his descendants leading to Jesus Christ.
Hang on. On that note, we got to hit a break. 3 minutes. We'll be right back. Reverend Ted Pike is my guest. We shall return in three. Don't change that dial. Hey, everybody. We're back. This is Meg Ron. This is the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. My website is three words, and I will link, well, three words. I should tell you what those three words are, shouldn't I? It is theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. I will link to my guest, Reverend Ted Pike's website, truthtellers.org, on mine under the tab entitled Podcast. And I know when we hit that break, you were making a point, Reverend Pike, so please go right ahead, if you would.
Well, in the New Testament Greek, the Jews are constantly mentioned. They're called the Judeans, Judah. It's descended from Judah, who was a rather a sinful son of Jacob, but nevertheless he was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and founded the basically his descendants when the invasion of the Hebrews out of Egypt, when they came into Canaan, they settled around the city of Jerusalem, and I think what we have to remember is that we can get embroiled in arguing about names and this kind of thing, genealogies. In fact, the scripture says don't get embroiled in Jewish genealogies and so on. We have to face the reality that we have a tremendous threat coming at us right now. We have not only a great threat, but we have a great opportunity. We can kind of keep focused on this program, on the outrages of the good Christian bitches attack In fact, I'd like to just read, if I could, just a little bit of exactly what happened in the last program to make vivid to the people just how sacrilegious and how blasphemous this is.
Go right ahead, Reverend Pike.
Yeah, please, maybe I could just read a little bit. We
sure.
can kind of get back to that.
Can I make one more point?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
I'm not trying to be argumentative. Trust me, that's the last thing I want to do. I'm just trying to point out the fact that when people, such as my in-laws, hear anybody say anything negative about Jews, they have a conniption fit. Jews are God's chosen people in their eyes, and they always will be. So to hear someone say anything bad about the Jews, they just cut you off and throw you out of the house.
Sure.
A lot of people are like that.
Uh-huh.
But what I think is the problem is people are not discerning the difference between Hebrews, Israelites, and Jews, and I think there needs to be a distinction made. The Jews were just 1/12 of the tribe of the Israelites, and if you take and look at Genesis 12, where God says to Abram, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, he was talking to Abram, who was not a Jew. He was telling him he would bless his children, bless the world through his children. So my point is that in order for today's Jews to continue to reap those, quote, blessings, unquote, they have to turn Abraham into a Jew. They promote that idea. You go and look at all the websites where they talk about who is a Jew and who is not and what it means to be a Jew, and they all say Abraham was a Jew. Every rabbi.
Well, if we read Galatians 3 makes it clear that it states categorically that when this promise is made to the seed of Abraham, the covenant promise that he will bless all nations and so on, he's referring to Christ in a singular sense. He's saying, I'm going to bless your seed, singular, Jesus Christ, and in Jesus Christ shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Not through America, it's not through the white identity peoples and Anglo-Saxon peoples that all the world is going to be blessed and all that stuff. Like I hear from the identity people, it's through Jesus Christ, the seed, singular, Galatians tells us, Jesus Christ will bless all nations. And obviously, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not called Jews because Judah was not on the scene at that time. And the fact of the matter is that historically, the northern 10 tribes were taken away, blown to the winds of antiquity in the Assyrian conquest in 722 B.C. And so they don't really compute and figure in modern times. But the tribe of Judah, sinful as it was, did carry the genetic chromosomal line of Abraham into modern times and though probably very much corrupted by Gentile intermixture, it does represent the authentic line of the tribe of Judah and the closest thing we have today to a representation of an authentic Jew, of course, in contrast to the Khazars. So,
I appreciate you allowing me to discuss this matter, and I'll hang up and listen to you, and thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Patrick. Thanks. Reverend Pike, you got a choice. We can take another caller now, or you can go and start to read from the script of Good Christian Bitches. Your preference. What do you want to do? We could take.
How much time do we have for this?
Well, we've got another 40 minutes. So
let me just read. Let's just get back on this topic a little bit, and then we can take the caller. Okay.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. This last GCB. I should mention that just before this last GCB program, they had a double header, an Easter special, believe it or not. GCB, they touted it. They said, nobody does Easter like GCB. These Jews of ABC were saying, nobody does Easter like GCB, the most sacred Christian holiday, sacred day, I should say, when millions of American Christians have spent their day Sunday in veneration and honor of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And for 2 hours, GCB had a back-to-back special in order to hog that time to blaspheming and reviling of the disciples and of Jesus and of the character of Jesus himself. But the next one that came out last Sunday was practically even worse. It starts with the pastor of this evangelical church in Dallas, Texas, stealing the sermon leaflets from another local church and admitting his competitive feelings toward its pastor, who approaches him with a thinly veiled meanness. And to help the pastor boost his image, here again we have pastors who are viewed as self-serving and have low images, weak characters. Amanda, who is the secular volunteer, she's not a bitch. She doesn't believe in God, in Christ. She's not a Christian, but she's held up as the only person in the sitcom with any real integrity, that is, except for the homosexual that's there. And so Amanda volunteers to run a church musical for this evangelical church. These other bitches, so-called Christian bitches, are appalled at having to audition before Amanda. And Cricket, one of the bitches, is a vicious, cold-hearted business tycoon. She tries for the role of the Holy Spirit by singing "This Little Light of Mine," and then Carlene, one of the worst bitches, interrupts her with her own ear-splitting version, and then butting in front of each other like children, Cricket and Carlene continue to serve as the show's unlikable, laughable buffoons. Carlene wins the role of the Holy Spirit, and her husband is awarded the role of Jesus, and then Cricket haughtily rejects the role of the leper healed by Christ. The competitive pastor butts in to insult the rehearsals of the musical and reinforce the stereotype of materialistic, superficial Christians. At rehearsal, homosexual, he's a pillar of the church. He's married to Cricket. He's also a homosexual who gets phone numbers at a strip club for homosexual contacts. He also has sex with his ranch hands at his big sprawling ranch. Homosexual Blake, in his sparkly silver toga, gyrates his hips and hams it up after being raised from the dead as Lazarus. And to represent the Holy Spirit, Carlene wears a low-cut, bedazzled white ball gown and a pair of white wings, so enormous she can't pass through the doorways. Because she needs Cricket to finance better staging, Amanda rescinds the Holy Spirit role from Carlene and gives it to Cricket. Doesn't mean much to her, does it? To remain the star, Carlene threatens the musical writer with scripture and loss of her business. When all the bitches' egos collide in the church sanctuary, they turn on Amanda, who is not a Christian, once again, who is the most reasonable and likable character. And afterward, Amanda sits in a pew and humbly examines her character and then helps the bitches reconcile. And originally a Bible thumper fundamentalist, Amanda's mother, Gigi, has appeared increasingly unchurched and above the shenanigans of the Christian bitches. Moderated by secular Amanda, Gigi shows quiet self-reflection and ability to apologize and change bad actions, in stark contrast to the queen bees who claim to follow Christ. And then in a rare positive moment, Carlene's husband, in the costume of Jesus, blocks the women from the entrance to the church until they promise to behave properly. In the musical's opening number, all the cast members dance to Dixie Chicks' raucous "Just Gotta Dance" a tune, and actors playing Jesus and the Holy Spirit toast each other with large gold wine goblets. Later, the cast sings a Broadway-style song while the Christ and Lazarus characters rock out in electric guitars. That's what happened on Monday night. Do you see why we're a little bit angry?
Yeah, I would have to say, yeah, I can see why.
What if there was a program going to the local Jewish temple, local Jewish synagogue, and it was entitled Good Jewish Bitches, and the rabbi was made into a fool, the cantor was made into an idiot. Their rites and ceremonies were marked like this.
Yeah, yeah. Hang on, Reverend Pike. We've got to go to break. 3 minutes. We'll be back. Reverend Ted Pike is my guest. Truthtellers.org is his website. Lots of information on his website. Go there. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Hi, everybody. We're back. This is Maggie Rodden. You are listening to the Unsolicited Opinion Radio Show. My guest this morning is Reverend Ted Pike. National Prayer Network is his group. TruthTellers.org is their website. You know, it really is rather telling, I think, Reverend Pike, the different things that we see, the behaviors that are displayed, this true hatred for Christians that's exemplified in this Good Christian Bitches TV show that they've put out there. You know, the silence, the you can hear crickets when you think about the evangelicals, of course, who are doing nothing other than you to stop this. I mean, you know, I like to turn on Christian stations here. Oftentimes, the one radio in one of the rooms, I'll tune it in just to hear what different people are saying. Nobody says anything about this.
No, of course not. Yeah.
Not a word. Nobody. And I listen to black preachers. I listen to white preachers. You know, whoever's on there, I'll listen to what it is they have to say. Nobody says anything.
Yeah, I'm not indicting all preachers or leaders, but there are major Christian watchdog organizations who are receiving literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, for the sole purpose of watching over our rights legislatively, morally, in the media, and so on, and who know this is going on and yet are silent. That's what's so reprehensible about this. There is a crisis. There is a crisis of courage in this country because they know as well as we do that this is a Jewish institution, a Jewish media organization. And they want to stay as far away from that as they possibly can, just like the Jewish hate laws. And what's the price we're going to pay, though? We're going to lose freedom out of this. We're going to lose our liberties as Christians to enjoy the same rights as homosexuals and Jews and blacks and Muslims. They're going to be preferred over us.
Exactly.
Even our federal hate law, which tragically passed 2 years ago, Attorney General Eric Holder testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee that it does not give equal rights and protections under the law to Christians, whites, and males. And
yeah.
In fact, I have a video at truthtellers.org, a 10-minute video with all of these scenes of Eric Holder admitting that there is no equality under our U.S. federal hate crimes law. And that's true of the 45 U.S. ADL state hate laws, as well as all hate laws worldwide. What we see here is this phenomena that somehow we as Christians are supposed to just laugh at all of this, consider it good fun, that Christians are the butt of ridicule. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, are held up to ridicule. We're supposed to laugh at ourselves and join in the merriment. That's what the press releases out of ABC are saying, hey, this is showing our imperfections, and we're all imperfections. Let's relax and not make such a big fuss about it. But let me tell you, if Jewish women were held up as catty and materialistic and backbiting in the way that these Christians are, let me tell you, ADL would be lurid with rage and anger and sending out news releases protesting this, and they would make any offender, any media offender who made those assertions grovel, literally grovel, and kiss the feet of Abe Foxman begging for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there certainly would be wailing and gnashing of teeth, wouldn't there, Reverend Pike? Yeah. Let's grab this caller real quickly. He's been holding on for a while. Willis in Idaho, go right ahead, please.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say, I don't do TV, so I haven't seen the show, and I don't really know if I have a dog in this fight anyway, but it certainly does sound very biased to me. It definitely sounds like it has an agenda that would fit in with a lot of the other things we see going on, and to me that actually gives some credence to Christianity. And so maybe on the there'll be maybe a little bit of a rubber band effect if you can continue getting out your message. And so I appreciate that, but that's not the big reason I called. I'm having trouble finding, after I asked the question, you'll understand why I'm having trouble with it. But I wondered, you sound very knowledgeable about the Jews and who's who and along that. And so I was going to ask, I'm pretty politically active up here, and I keep running into people in high places or people that are stopping our efforts. We have a group and whatnot, and that they end up being Masonic, and uh-huh. and we find this out, of course, the hard way. But they hold the high offices, and they are running for the high offices. And in any way, somewhere in two places now, I've read that the Masons at the 29th or 33rd degree swear an oath to Israel. Do you have any idea whether that could be true or not?
Well, I don't know that specifically, but Masonry has historically been one of the tentacles of this octopus. You see, there's a conspiracy coming out of the Jews from 2,000 years ago. They have enlisted the Khazar proselytes, the Ashkenazi, to help them bring about their ambitions for world control. But they have also enlisted the Gentiles, particularly Gentiles of influence. This goes back, literally back to the Crusades, when the Crusaders went off to Palestine to save Jerusalem from contamination by the infidel Muslims. But they were corrupted there by Muslim luminous conspirators who actually turned them into agents of the Kabbalistic conspiracy.
Hang on, River Pike. Hang on. We got to hit a break. We'll be right.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, everybody. Pike is my guest. Truthtellers.org is his website. If you go there, there's all kinds of information. Make some phone calls to these different sponsors of this television show, Good Christian Bitches. Stand up and fight back. Make calls and tell them you're not going to buy their products if they don't disconnect from promoting a denigration of Christianity. You got to hit people with in the pocketbook. That's unfortunately money talks in this world, doesn't it, Reverend Pike?
At the station break, we were talking about the origins of Masonry and why Masons join with the Jews, the Zionists, in attacking and subverting Christian civilization. Back in 1918, Sir Winston Churchill wrote a very powerful article in the Illustrated Sunday Herald in which he laid out very specifically the Jewish origins of communism. That's a classic statement, an article which I've quoted from very much. But in that article, he holds up Nesta Webster as one of the great historians of our time. He's a disciple of her in her books. And in her book, Secret Societies and Subversive Movements, a classic, which I think we could probably get it at Amazon, she describes with great detail, with great documentation, how that the Crusaders went to Palestine during the Crusades, but toward the latter part of it, they began to be sucked into Islamic Jewish Kabbalism. She maintains that there's overwhelming evidence that the Kabbalistic Talmudic Jews of that region had actually deeply penetrated Islam, and that there was a Islamic leader called the Old Man of the Mountain who had a vast underground network, which was actually as extensive in its intrigues as Adam Weishaupt and the Illuminati in the 18th century. And these Muslim Jewish / Jewish revolutionaries and intriguers, they sucked in the Crusaders, made them, enlightened them, illumined them to this greater desire for world government, satanic world government, and the Crusaders went back into the Masonic craft guilds of Europe. They infested the craft guilds, and they took over the Masons, the illustrious Masonic craft guilds that built the cathedrals and so on. They infiltrated them and created European Masonry or Free Masonry as a pinnacle, as an adjunct of this Jewish Kabbalistic conspiracy. She goes on to describe all of the Kabbalistic Jewish symbolism within Masonry. And in a nutshell, that is why Masons today are the agents of this Jewish world conspiracy. They are not the conspiracy. They are the useful idiots with all of their ridiculous symbolism and rites and ceremonies. Nevertheless, there's a core there of alignment and sympathy with this dream of a world commercial Babylon the Great empire to come.
Does that answer your question, Willis? Does that answer your question, Willis?
Very, very much. What was the name of that book again, please?
Secret Societies and Subversive Movements, about 350 pages long. It's a priceless classic of historical documentation.
And what was her name?
Her name is Nesta, N-E-S-T-A, Webster.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Let me ask you another question. Somebody had emailed to me, Reverend
Pike. Just excuse me for interrupting. But
sure, go ahead.
This fact of Jewish intrigue well within the depths of Islam is a reminder to us that it is not at all improbable that the Muslim hijackers in 9/11 actually were very much directed by Mossad and Jewish influence, Jewish directives, trying to inveigle the U.S. in Mideast wars.
Well, I have to tell you honestly, Reverend Pike, if there even were Muslim hijackers, I think it's more 9/11 was an inside Israel job. I personally think from the different things that I've researched and people I've listened to that they became the scapegoats because you need to have somebody to hate. You know what I mean? You got to have a villain in scenario.
Absolutely. That's not my specialty. I'm just pointing out that things are not black and white. It's not the Jews versus the Arabs, even the Christians against the Muslims, whatever. There's an inner penetration, a network of intrigue, even between liberal and conservative groups. You have the Jews boasting that they control both sides of these great issues.
Yeah. The question that I wanted to ask you that somebody had emailed in, the INRI, which was above the cross of Jesus. What's the translation of that, Reverend Pike? Because this person wrote that it was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Is that the correct translation, INRI, that was supposed to be written on
his
cross?
That sounds Latin, but what Pilate wrote was, I am the King of the Jews, and the Jews objected to that, saying, oh, no, let's put a new plaque up that says, I say that I am the King of the Jews, and Pilate says, what I've written, I have written. So whatever was above the cross is basically Pilate's inscription, Jesus, King of the Jews.
Okay. We have another caller. Let's grab this caller quickly. Art in Philadelphia, go right ahead, please.
Hello, Maggie and Reverend Pike. Thank you for taking my call. Wanted to point out some things relevant to your issues here. There's a website called EqualityForum.com, and it's basically talking about the gay parade that's going to be happening in Philadelphia between May 3rd, starting May 3rd through May 6th. And their most favorite nation they're going to be supporting there is none other than Israel.
Yes, they're going to have I heard about that.
Yeah, they're going to have Michael Oren, the ambassador of Israel, the one who's supporting freeing Jonathan Pollard. They're basically supporting the No Place for Hate programs, which is front by the ADL, and now they're sponsoring the anti-discrimination laws. This is an atrocity to Pennsylvania. It's an atrocity to southeastern Pennsylvania. It's basically nothing but showing the cultural rot that's going on by these people bringing it into our communities. You know, it's only one step from here to, bringing in the sexual predators and exposing them all to the kids.
Sure.
And I was wondering if you have any ideas.
Yeah, this is the same gang there in Philadelphia, probably including Lynn Abraham, who indicted the 11 Christians in 2004 for the so-called hate crime of preaching the gospel at the Outfest homosexual rally there. You're probably familiar with that.
I've heard of the Philly 11. Lynn Abraham was an executive director of the Anti-Defamation League.
Absolutely.
And
she's also a member of their Justice Lodge, the inner lodge of the B'nai B'rith Justice Lodge. So you have a very 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 corrupt legal, judicial, even law enforcement system there in Philadelphia. We've seen repeated attempts by Michael Makovich and the Philly 11 to get justice out of that. And the more it climbs the legal ladder of appeals, the more outrageously perverted the Pennsylvania-Philadelphia legal justice system shows itself to be.
Correct. I agree with you. And I was wondering if there's any ideas how to protest this corruption in our community when it's coming up here. Just like the Philly 11, first of all, the Philly 11 needs to be remembered, and we need to protest this tyranny that Israel's bringing and the gay community's bringing upon the Philadelphia area.
I have been aware that that Israel will be featured there, and I may be able to write an e-alert. When I write an e-alert, of course, it can go to tens of thousands of people. What you can do locally. We tried to contact the Philadelphia newspapers. I think it's the Philadelphia. Is it the Inquirer?
Yes.
Well,
okay, and protest as well as local TV and radio there in Philadelphia during that atrocity in 2004, but didn't get very far at all. It's a pretty corrupt system there. I don't know exactly. I just bid you Godspeed to be creative.
Right. Okay. Well, anything to get the word out is appreciated. Lynn Abraham, she's no longer the district attorney, but when she was there, you know, she couldn't find her outside of wet paper bag to find the corruption in the casino, the Foxwood casinos and a sugar house being built there.
Yeah.
Because her power broker with the ADL, Edgar Brothman, was the same major investor in the casino. So
yeah. All right, I'm going to let you go, Art. And thanks for calling. I appreciate it, but I want to get back to Reverend Pike. Art's a great historian of all the corrupt criminals and their enterprises here in the Philadelphia area. Art, you're welcome to send that to me, and I'll put it up on my website, but I don't want to go on for the next 10 minutes of a litany of all the different people that are corrupt, because we know they're all corrupt, suffice it to say. So,
thanks, Art. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, he's got a wealth of information of all the who's who and who's been doing what to whom around the Philadelphia area.
Sure.
Rather sad, really, when you think about it, Reverend Pike, that people, there is no such thing as equal justice anymore. It's only in theory. It's not in the application at all. Social justice has taken over. It just bothers me. Really bothers me, Reverend Pike, that more people don't speak out against what's taking place here. They're just so afraid to speak out. They're afraid, oh, I'll lose my job or this or that or the other thing. Listen, we're all going to be enslaved if people don't speak out.
Yeah, that's right. We have to speak out because this noose is tightening. The verbal hate speech crime noose is becoming ever more oppressive. And fortunately, we've been able to hold it back, but ADL is very successful now in persuading state after state to adopt anti-bullying laws. That's their baby, anti-bullying laws or cyberbullying laws, which especially are causing the Christian youth in the public school system to be forced to be completely quiet concerning any criticism of homosexuality or, even worse, advocacy of a Christian marriage or the heterosexual lifestyle. So we have to continue to be militant, and unfortunately I'm only mortal. I can't fight all these battles at the same time, but we have to realize that ADL never gives up, and we have to have Christian watchdog groups and even individuals as determined to persevere with the truth regardless of the cost.
Yeah, well, I agree with you there, Reverend Pike. And I know there was, in fact, I think it was in Camden, at one of the colleges in Camden, they just are trying, and I think they convicted this kid who filmed his roommate who was homosexual, and the roommate ended up committing suicide. So I can't remember the charges they laid upon this kid who set up his camera on his computer to spy on his roommate and his sexual activities.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, it's hate crimes that they charged this kid with who did this above and beyond whatever other crimes they dreamt up that they claimed he was guilty of.
Yes.
Tragic things going on around here. I mean, it's a tragedy this kid killed himself over that. But,
Here in the United States, we do have a record of at least 10 or 12 years of very pointed and extensive broadcasting, at least on alternative talk radio, against hate crimes laws. And our National Prayer Network has been the primary advocate of repeal and prevention of the passage of federal and state hate laws. As a result of that, the ADL has been slow in actually implementing the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Prevention Act, which it tried to pass for 12 years. But if we don't watch out, they are going to be making selected indictments, customized selected indictments, picking and choosing those ones, especially those which implicate Christians, like these Amish Christians in Ohio that cut off the beards of their theological rivals, making that into a big hate crime. And what they want to do is lay down legal precedent, like one brick upon another, which, if not successfully contested, will become law and become the basis then for federal judges to actually adjudicate from the bench, I should say legislate from the bench, out of those precedents, building a hate crimes legal system that wasn't even contained in the Matthew Shepard Act in its beginnings.
Reverend Pike, we've got a caller from Indiana. Bob is on the line with us. Go ahead, please, Bob.
I certainly applaud Reverend Pike. And I'm a Christian, probably not considered a good one, but I do believe Jesus was my Lord and Savior. But one of the problems, I've kind of lost interest in local congregations of Christianity, is the fact that they've all turned into zombies. I mean, when they bought into this IRS 501c3 thing for tax exemptions, right there in the code, it says that they're not to criticize political things. So all we hear from the generic pulpit today, in my opinion, is just platitudes.
Of course. And,
absolutely. You know, and you're right. You just touched on this hate crime type of thing and so forth. That's just absolutely silliness. You know, thought control.
Yes.
Or any of those kinds of things. You know, I know it's a cliche, but when I was young, and I got my feelings hurt in school, but my folks soon cleared that up by just telling me the old kid's phrase, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names could never hurt me.
Yes.
And that solved the problem for me. I don't know why it can't for anybody else.
Well, because... Yeah, exactly, Bob. I was told the same thing when I was a kid.
You can't get anybody in our community to get excited over anything. Now, I don't know if it's part of what the chemtrails are doing to us. I'm reaching right now. I don't know what the story is, but it starts in our educational system.
I agree. And on that note, listen, Bob, we're running out of time. I'm going to cut you loose. Thanks for calling. We're going to break. We'll be back in 3 minutes with Reverend Ted Pike for the final segment of the show. Don't change that dial. Hey, everybody. We're back. Reverend Ted Pike is my guest. Truthtellers.org is his website. We've got a couple minutes left, Reverend Pike. Final things you'd like to throw in? Final thoughts?
Sure. Even though only 11 sponsors have actually publicly declared that they are abandoning GCB support. The fact is that nearly 4 out of 5 sponsors have not advertised a second time on the show as a result of all of the calling of literally thousands of people who've called and emailed in there. I believe that's very strong evidence that we are having an impact, even if we can't get Bob Iger and the homosexual Jews who are behind us to back down and actually cancel it. We're past the midway point. Nevertheless, you see, they are saying that they really want to put Good Christian Bitches in as a permanent part of their season next year, replacing Desperate Housewives. If this program becomes a pariah program and the sponsors are actually afraid to be associated with it, it'll be the kiss of death for it. It won't be able to go up and become a part of the television landscape for this next year or even the year beyond that. So we're doing much by every call that goes in. These sponsors know that stands for 1,000 people who feel the same way but didn't have the scratch to actually call or email in. They know that those 1,000 people might not be buying their car or their mayonnaise or their products as a result of this. They might have a bad taste in their mouth as a result of being associated with this blasphemous program. So any call you can do, any emailing you can do, come to truthtellers.org. We have the master list there of all 154 sponsors, but we also have anything you can do. You know, if you can even call a few or 10 or 12 or maybe just one or two a day before work, anything helps. We all have to work together because we're going down together unless we speak out now.
It's very true, Reverend Pike. It really is. You know, if people I know are frightened, but if they don't stand up, look at these bullying laws, these hate crime laws that we have. They're going to be locking up half the people in America.
They are. This is leading to persecution. This is
yes.
leading to French Revolution type of mockery of Christianity, where all it takes is an accusation and you're off to the guillotine, like Marie Antoinette suffered and others in the reign of terror under Robespierre. That's where this is all leading, is irrational accusations. You are a ridiculous Christian. You are beyond contempt. And the media is wanting to create this stereotype targeting Christians as the most despicable, hateful people who literally, ultimately, may not even be allowed to live.
Yeah, I mean, that's not outrageous either to see the correlation between history and what's happening today, Reverend Pike, is not outrageous. It only makes sense. It's common sense to look back to see the future, and the same behavior patterns are being exhibited. So we can assume it's almost a guaranteed fact that it'll lead in that direction, because they're stifling your free exchange of ideas. They are calling anti-Semite, racist, xenophobe, hater, you name it, homophobe. Everything they can think of, they're putting labels on people to shut them up and to control them.
That's right. These Jewish supremacists are blood brothers to the Bolsheviks who slaughtered millions of Christians. That's what they want to do, and we have to stand against them right now.
I agree. Listen, Reverend Pike, we got to go to Oz. I love having you on. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Reverend Pike.
Thank you, Maggie.
Take care. Hey, listen, everybody, we're going to Oz. Somewhere Over the Rainbow is a wonderful place to be. Truthtellers.org is Reverend Pike's website. Please go there. Make phone calls. He's got the list of the sponsors of this show to call. Do that. Stand up and speak out. Don't be afraid. The truth will set you free. Another great show follows mine. I'll be back tomorrow. Chin up, everybody. The sun's going to come up.